Well, good morning, everyone. And the question I want to address this morning is this. Why do we need to gather together as a church to pray? Isn't it just as good for everyone to pray alone at home? And by the way, didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they receive their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, in order for us to understand the meaning of this passage in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, we need to understand the context in which Jesus said these things to the people, to his disciples, to the Pharisees, to those who are listening. In the beginning of Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." So you see, these verses are not really addressing whether we should pray in public or not pray in public. It's not addressing the where of our praying, but rather it's addressing the reason, the why of our praying. That is, we should be praying selflessly and glorifying God, rather than praying selfishly and glorifying self. Here, Jesus was condemning the Pharisees for wanting to be seen by others as being righteous. They were not really talking to God when they were praying in public. They were pretending to be talking to God when in fact they were only putting on a front in order to look holy and righteous in the eyes of others. So as long as we're praying with the right motives, it doesn't really matter where we pray, in public or in private. We should actually be doing both, you know, praying at home and at church. Now it's interesting to see that all the pronouns in the Lord's Prayer are in the plural. Have you noticed that before? Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You see, the Lord's Prayer is meant to be prayed corporately. That's how Jesus taught us to pray, with one another. And the book of Acts reveals the early church was serious about praying together. They prayed together in the temple and in their homes. They prayed together when they were sick and when they were filled with the Spirit. They prayed together at mealtimes and in times of persecution. And again and again and again in the book of Acts, we find them coming together. The early church came together to pray. You see, the church was birthed in the midst of corporate prayer. Acts 1:4, Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And as they did so, they prayed. Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The church was defined by its devotion to prayer. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe that many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. The temple was the place of public worship and prayer. Corporate prayer was simply a way of life for them, an important part of the life of the church, along with worship and communion, teaching sound doctrine, and fellowship. The church commissioned and prayed for each other. For example, when the church needed to select and send people for missions, they gathered together to pray. In Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. In regards to praying for healing, James 5:16 tells us, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see, not all of our personal needs will be answered by God through our personal prayers alone, because the Lord desires for us to pray with and for each other. We were meant to pray with and to pray for each other. The church prayed when they faced problems. That is, they prayed together when persecution broke out. It says in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 to 27, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke that the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. Then, still praying together, they asked the Lord for help. Now, Lord, they said, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. You know, most of us would have begged for protection and peace, but not them. Their petition and prayer was corporate. They addressed God as members of one another. They were all praying in the same courageous way together, and God used their collective prayers to continue the work of the gospel. The church prayed when they needed direction. When they needed to choose leaders, they met together to pray. Acts 14:23 says this, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. A month ago, as we were about to have our membership meeting to vote on the building completion project, we spent time in our prayer summit in October listening to God and praying for his guidance. Did you remember that? And I truly believe that God spoke to us as a church when we came together. That God spoke to us as a church when we came together to pray, when we came together to listen, when we came together to discern, and then when we came together to vote on this issue the week after. And I believe the Lord heard our prayer and brought great unity to our church. So what are some of the values and the purposes of corporate prayer? First, Jesus is present when the church gathers to pray. There's this principle that Jesus makes his presence known when his people come together. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, 4, when you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I'm with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. This happened when the church met to hear the report of Peter and John after their release from being arrested, and they prayed in Acts 4, 29-31. Now, Lord, consider their threats, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. As they prayed, not only was the presence of Jesus with them, but the place where they gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In other instances, they were enabled to speak in tongues. You see, when we come together in prayer, God is present. Jesus himself is present. We'll always receive a blessing from him, whether it's his peace, his joy, his hope, his assurance that he is near. Another value and purpose of corporate prayer is that prayer requests are often answered as we pray. Do you remember what happened in Acts chapter 12? As the church was gathered together to pray in Mary's home, you know, God answered their prayer right away by sending an angel to set Peter free from prison. And when Peter arrived at Mary's house, they were still busy praying for his release. It's both ironic and humorous that they would not stop their praying in order to open the door for Peter and to let him in. At our last prayer summit, we were praying that Pastor Joseph would soon find a place to stay in Montreal as it was starting to get very cold there. Do you remember that? You know, he arrived at the end of August, early September, and ever since then he was trying to find a place to stay in which he could start his new venture in Montreal. As he tried the following weeks, each time he went to see a place, well, first of all, it's hard enough to even find a listing because it seems like in Quebec, in Montreal, most people move out of their one place to another place, whether they're renting or buying a house. They all kind of corporately move at the end of June. That's kind of like what's known there. End of June is moving day for the city and Montreal and the province of Quebec. And so he had a tough time trying to find a place to stay. And the few listings that would show up in the times that he was looking for a place to stay would be grabbed up right away. You know, it would be listed and then someone would take it. And he actually found a place to stay a few weeks later. But the next thing he knew was that someone else after him had put in another offer of rent more than what they advertised. And so that person got it instead of him. And we weren't going to do any bidding wars or anything like that. And so we just kind of said no to that. And then we prayed for Pastor Joseph. I asked you to pray for him. And I'm not exaggerating. You know, that afternoon, after we came together corporately to pray for Pastor Joseph, just that next week, the next few days, many listings, there was about 3 or 4 or 5 listings that showed up. And this was like in October, well past moving date. And Pastor Joseph was able to go and see some of these places. And of the places he saw, he liked 3 of them. And so he put his name in to rent these 3 places or to rent one of these 3 places. And to his surprise, the following week, each of those 3 places got back to him and said that they'd be willing to rent his place to them. So not only did he have one place to rent, he had now 3 choices to make as to which he wanted to rent. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing in the way that he hears our prayer? And he answers our prayer. He knows our needs. And he answers us. Our prayer requests are often answered as we pray corporately. Praise the Lord. Third, big requests, big prayer requests require much corporate prayers. Some big issues can only be resolved if there are many people praying into them. We know that the Spirit resides in us individually, but He also resides in the church corporately. Paul said in Ephesians 2:22, "And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." In 2014, ISIS fighters attacked isolated Yazidi communities in northern Iraq and violently killed thousands of men, and women and children. Those who were not killed, especially young girls and women, were captured and taken as sex slaves for ISIS soldiers. They were beaten and brutally raped on a daily basis. Although some have been fortunate to escape, they'll forever live with deep emotional and physical scars from that trauma. Now, I'm sure some of you remember that we, as a church, were involved the Christian and Missionary Alliance National Women's Ministry Project called Hope for the Brokenhearted, in which we not only prayed for the Yazidis, the girls, and we collected an offering for the project, but we also commissioned IW's Don and Betty Orr to minister to this group of Yazidi people. I want to just share with you what happened after we as a church, after we as a nation of churches, as a denomination in Canada, what happened after we prayed. You know, and we pray for this young girl, if you recollect on the screen here on the left, Susanna was her name. She had been taken by ISIS and trafficked around as a sex slave from one family to the next. And when she had finally escaped, her outlook on life was bleak. She was devastated and without hope. I mean, just look at her eyes. Just look at her eyes. It says so much. The hollowness, the darkness that can be seen deep in her soul. But I just heard from Dave Hearn, our president of the CMA, just this past week, that now, years later, after much prayer, after much healing from the Lord, Susanna now is a real light. She's now a real encouragement to others as she speaks to them, as she ministers to women who had gone through a similar trauma that she had faced many years ago. Just look at the picture of her now. How good the Lord is. How big requests require much corporate prayers for many people. And fourthly, corporate prayer encourages us to pray and keep on praying. You know, someone once said that when we work, but when we pray, God works. And our enemy, the devil, he knows that better than we do in the church. And so he will attack prayer more than anything else in the church. You see, as long as a church doesn't pray, the devil isn't concerned, because that church will not change anything of significance. We can see, or we can have as many programs and outreaches as we want. It will not be effective for the kingdom of God without prayer. But the enemy is very worried about a praying church, about a church of prayer. That is why I've heard many pastors say that the hardest thing that they will ever do is to get prayer, corporate prayer, going in their churches, and then to keep it going. Prayer can be easily extinguished in a church, even within a short time. So when we do come together to pray, we encourage each other, and it helps keep us praying individually too, as well. It says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And then finally, corporate prayer edifies and unifies the church in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:3, Paul says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." When people pray together, the Spirit speaks to us and unifies us in the Lord. As we pray together at Fraserlands, the Lord, by His Spirit, has brought us to a unity in the various things that we prayed for and listened to God about. You know, for example, you know, should we introduce the spiritual practices of church renewal to our church? You know, that was a question that we asked ourselves a couple years ago. This includes a personal renewal, relational renewal, spiritual renewal, you know, the Hearing God seminar, the prayer summit. You know, these are all things that we were wondering, you know, should we introduce this to our church? And our leaders, our elders, our pastors, we prayed into this. And all of our leaders, our pastors and elders and their spouses have agreed that this should be done at our church. And then when we prayed for the building completion project to see if we should continue on, even though the cost of construction has increased significantly, there was an overwhelming affirmation, an overwhelming confirmation from the Lord and through the leading of His people. This is also the case with some of our recent staff hirings. You know, there's been affirmation from God and from His church that this is the right person for the position. So let us, Praise Lions Church, come together to pray that the Lord will show us clearly, even as we look for applicants or we look for a Cantonese congregation pastor, that which of these applicants we should choose. And may His will be done in our Cantonese congregation. Let us continue to pray for the unity and the love that we have at our church, because this is what's so special about Fraser Lands Church. I mean, how often do you find English-speaking elders whose first language is not Cantonese, but is willing to preach in Cantonese because of their love and their care for the people and a desire to connect with them? How often do you find a Cantonese congregation who does not try to exert their authority with a "we are the older generation" mentality, so you should listen to us, in order to defer to the English speaking, the youth, the future leaders of our church? How blessed we are. You know, I don't know of many churches that have this. How often do you find a Mandarin congregation is willing to contribute and show their love for the church by making so much delicious food and dumplings all the time, whether it's at Community Day or at the Alliance Women Luncheon last week? This is something that makes us unique at Fraser Lands. The love and in unity that we have. And we need to continue to commit our unity to the Lord in prayer. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I really want to encourage you to come to our prayer summits, as we will gather together as a church, you know, to worship, to pray, to listen to God, to seek the presence of Jesus, to hear what He has to say to us, to do His will. This is probably one of the most important ministries, one of the most important events that we can attend and get involved with at our church. We'll spend time submitting our elected officials to God that we just chose last week, as they will be leading our country in the next few years. We'll give thanks to the Lord for answered prayers that we've seen, you know, since our last prayer summit. And we'll also pray for Fun Fest, as we will be interacting with our community and those who will be coming this Thursday. And as well, as the Lord leads us, we'll be praying for other things that He brings to mind as well. Let me close with this. What may God be saying to you about your prayer life, both personally and corporately? What is God saying to us about our corporate prayers? What are some things that we need to pray for as a church together? And so, Lord God, we come before You. Our desire, Lord Jesus, is to recognize what it is that You want us to do corporately as a church. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to discern Your voice, the prompting of the Spirit, the movement of the Father as He leads us in our church. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would become a church of prayer, that there would be a culture of prayer in our church that starts with us, that starts with each one of us, and then God allows it to grow over time. Lord Jesus, show us, reveal Yourself to us as we seek You together for the things of this world, of our community, of our city, as we pray for our neighbors and as we pray for those closest to us. Lord God, speak to us corporately as a church. Show Your heart to us. Show Your will to us. Help us to hear You well and help us to follow You well. We thank You, God, that You make Yourself available to us. You're not far away at all. You're very near to us as we seek You in prayer. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Bless You. Bless You, Lord God. Come by Your Holy Spirit and transform us, renew our church in this aspect of corporate prayer. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.